Alright, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Test Zion. We are beginning Test Sova. We have actually a really beautiful, beautiful Gemara today. It's always beautiful, very interesting continuation of our Sugya from yesterday. Our Shir this morning is dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in memory of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Leib, ben Aaron Cohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shamos will have an aliyah, and the families in the Chama. So let's begin. Remember, we left off yesterday with a very dramatic discussion about the mechanics of Lav Hanitak La'aseh. We're in the middle of discussing this concept, and again, we're going to go further into it today, about a prohibition that is remedied by a positive commandment. Now, we'll say, so this began with the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan's theme in the beginning of the daf, and then we really got to the kishkas of this, which is, when we say that there's a lav hanitak la'aseh, we'll say, so let's say again, I steal something, there is a positive commandment to remedy that prohibition, to return the lost object. The shaila is, at the moment that I steal, have I been in violation of the lav? So apparently the Gemara suggests over here that l'maisa, again, that is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Kaimo velo kaimo. Reish Lakish says ultimately again, and Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me, says, what was the lashon? Bitlo velo bitlo. So we'll say in Rabbi Yochanan's model, you are only in violation of the lo saaseh once you violate the aseh. That's bitlo velo bitlo. Only once I negate the ability to fulfill the aseh, am I in violation of the lo saaseh? According to Reish Lakish, no. I'm in violation of the lo saaseh as soon as I steal. I have the ability to remedy that prohibition, how? By returning the lost object. So we'll say, this is the machlokis, bitlo velo bitlo, kaimo velo kaimo. So Rabbi Yochanan, bitlo velo bitlo, I'm only in violation of the lo saaseh if I negate the ability to fulfill the positive commandment. Kaimo velo kaimo, according to Reish Lakish, I'm in violation of the lo saaseh so long as what? So long as I have not fulfilled the positive commandment. So it says the Gemara, b'mai kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? Basra safek kamiflagi. They're arguing about the concept of hasra safek. We'll define this in just a moment. Marasav hasras, I'm sorry, I'm on Tesvav Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines off in the bottom. Marasav hasra safek shmasra, umarasav hasra safek lo shmasra. So both say, the machlokis is about hasra safek. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's in the first white line of Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan sever hasra safek shmasra, va'af agav, so we'll say, remember again, in order to be in violation of anything, you need hasra. So what happens? According to Rabbi Yochanan, if I violate a lo sase, a nitak lase, I steal something, and Eidim give me hasra. They give me warning. Silber, if you steal this object, you will be chayv. And they tell me what I'm going to chayv to, whatever it is, to Malkus. I would say, that's Asra Safik. Why is it Asra Safik? Because in Rabbi Yochanan's model, when do I violate the lo saaseh? Only when I negate the ability to perform the aseh. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan said, when they warn me, that is a doubtful warning. Why? Because I may negate the aseh, I may not negate the aseh. Yet Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hasra's Safik is Shma Hasra. On the flip side, Reish Lakish holds Hasra Safik is Lo Shma Hasra. And therefore, I will say that's why, again, Reish Lakish has to say Kaimo Velo Kaimo. Reish Lakish has to say that the moment I violate the Lav, I have what? I'm in violation. The only difference is I have the ability to remedy that violation through the performance of the positive commandment. But at the moment, ultimately, again, that I violate the law, I am in violation. Because otherwise, it's Hasra Safik. And Reish Lakish holds Hasra Safik Lo Shma Hasra. Va'azla Tamayu. And the Gemara says, and both go according to their reasoning. The Itmar, Shavua Shokal, Kikar Zihayom. Person makes a Shavua. What's the Shavua? So I swear that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. What happens? Va'avrayom v'lo achla. And the day passes by and I don't eat the loaf of bread. So what's that lacham? Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are in the locate. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree that I do not get Malkus. Why not? Rabbi Yochanan Omer in the locate. Rabbi Yochanan last line, Tesvav Amud Beis. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't get Malkus. Why? Top of Tes Zayin. Mishum Davi Lav She'in Bo Maisa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't get Malkus. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, this is a Lav She'in Bo Maisa, which means what? It is a prohibition that has no action. Meaning, if I swear I'm going to go and eat a loaf of bread, and I don't eat a loaf of bread, then what? How have I violated this Shavu Rabbosai? How? I've been passive. That's called a lav she'in bo ma'isa, a prohibition violated through passivity. Rabbi Yochanan holds you do not get malchus for a lav she'in bo ma'isa, as we'll discuss. V'chol lav she'in bo ma'isa in lokin alav, and any lav that has no associated ma'isa, you don't get malchus. Reish Lakish omer in lokin. Reish Lakish says, I don't get malchus. Why? Mishum dahavi hasra safik. Because they both say this is a hasra safik. Why is it a hasra safik? Because at the moment I take the shvua, the eidim say to me, if you violate the shvua, you will get malchus. But I both say I have the entire day in which to go ahead and consume the loaf. So because of I have the entire day to be able to eat loaf, Rabbi says, so in this case, Hasra Safik is a little bit different. Hasra, not only Hasra has to go ahead, there has to be an element of immediacy by Hasra. The Hasra, the warning, must immediately precede the violation. So for example, if I heard that Reuven is planning a trip to McDonald's today, so I can't tell him, you know what, in the morning, Reuven, if you go to McDonald's, you're in violation, you eat a cheeseburger, you're in violation of eating tray, if you're going to get malchus. That doesn't work. The Hasra has to immediately precede the violation. In this case, over here as well, it's Hasra Safek. Why? Because since I have an entire day to fulfill the Shavua, there is no immediacy. Therefore, it's Hasra Safek. And both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish align themselves with the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So both say, the important part to remember in all of this is the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is in the mechanics of lav hanitak la'asei. If you have a prohibition which is remedied through the performance of a positive commandment, the interesting shaila is at what point in time are you in violation of the lo saseh, of the prohibition? So in Rabbi Yochanan's model, you are only in violation of the lo saseh when? Once you negate the ability to perform the positive commandment which remedies the prohibition. According to Reish Lakish, when are you in violation of the lo saseh? The moment you violate the lo saseh. It is just that you have the ability to remedy that violation through the performance of the positive commandment. That is the fundamental machlokes that we're dealing with over here, and that's going to come out over and over again. And Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the Ainos of Rabbi Yehuda. This sanya, Velosa Silamen Ad Boker, Fanosimen Ad Boker, but HT says, so most remember again, Torah says, Karban Pesach, you shall not leave over anything until the morning, and anything you do leave over until the morning, you shall burn in the fire. You shall burn in the fire. So we'll say, so what do you have over here? You have a lav, do not leave over anything, and an assay. And whatever you leave over, you should burn in the fire. So we'll say, what does this sound like over here? What does it sound like? Sounds like a lav hanitak la'asei, a prohibition which is remedied through a positive commandment. Watch this. So the Gemara Sibach, also litin assay, achar lo saseh. The Torah comes along to give us a positive commandment after the prohibition, to teach me what? Lomar shein lokin alav. To teach me that I don't get malchus. They're both saying, if I leave over Karban Pesach until the next morning, I don't get malchus. I don't get malchus. Why not? Why not? Because it is a lav hanitak la'asei. Because it is a prohibition which can be remedied through the performance of a positive commandment. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan, so we'll say, watch this. So this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we'll say, what did the Gemara just say? Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree with this position of Rabbi Yehuda. But listen to this. We'll say, it's such an interesting thing. They're each going to make their own diuk. So Rabbi Yochanan, dayakochi. So what does Rabbi Yochanan take from this? Watch this. Taima, debakosav. The reason, ultimately, again, that you don't get malchus for this is because the Torah adds on an additional asay, an additional positive commandment. Halo ba'akasuf. So I'll say, had the Torah not given us, had the Torah not gone ahead and brought an additional asay, loke, you would have gotten malchus. Now, what do you see from this? Alma hasra safik shma hasra. What do you see from here? You see from here that a possible hasra, in other words, an equivocal hasra, you get malchus for. Now, how do you see that? Because you can remember, how does this hasra exactly work? You go ahead, somebody's offering up Karban Pesach, and what do? You warn them, you tell them, if you leave over anything until the morning, you're going to go ahead and get malchus. Nebo said, there's no immediacy there, because I'm giving this warning again in the beginning of the evening. They have the entire night to go ahead and violate the Isser. Rabbi Yochanan says, you see from here, that were it not for the assay, they would get malchus. So what do you see from here? That hasras safek shma hasra. Reish Lakish daik hachi. And Reish Lakish's diak is the following. Taima de ba'akosuf. The reason you don't get malchus is because there's an assay. Ha lo ba'akosuf loke. If the Torah would not have followed up, you would get malchus. Almo Lav she'in bo maisa lo kin alav. Rabbi said, what do you see from here? You see from here that even a lav that doesn't have a maisa. Rabbi said, remember again, this prohibition of lo sosiru memenu ad boker. What do you have to do in order to be in violation of leaving over Karan Pesach? Nothing. Nothing. It's passive. So what do you see from here? Rish Lakish says, you get a lav, you get malchus even through a lav that is passive, even through a lav shema maisa. Rabbi said, by the way, I'll just tell you something amazing. What's the musar? So Rabbi said, you know, the reason why we learn Gemara, I know you're wondering now, why am I here? Right? So I'll say, the reason we do this is because everything is in Gemara, right? You learn Tanakh in Gemara, you learn Halacha in Gemara, and you also learn incredible musar in Gemara. Rabbi said, what's the musar from a sugya like this? Two people could hear the same exact thing, and yet what? Take two dramatically different lessons from it. Meaning each of us process information through our own personal lens. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, well, so just you see what's happening over here. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish have their respective shitos. Rabbi Yehuda makes a statement. How do they each interpret Rabbi Yehuda? How do they each interpret Rabbi Yehuda? In a way which bolsters their own shita. And we'll say, when we hear things in life, we like to hear things in a way that solidifies and that bolsters things that we like to believe are true. That works out fine as long as your belief system is correct, as long as your hashkafas are correct. If your hashkafas are incorrect, if your belief system is flawed, then by definition, unfortunately, you end up reinforcing erroneous beliefs and erroneous hashkafas over and over and over. But we'll say, but lemaise again, that's how we're programmed. We hear things, we see things, we ingest information in a way that ultimately fits into our already established cognitive categories. Incredible Musar. So Gemara goes weiter. Anyway, Rish Lakish, so Gemara goes weiter. So look at Rav Shimon Lakish Nami, Havad Asra Safeku. So we'll say, but what is Rish? So remember again, so Rish Lakish holds that Asra Safek is Loshma Asra. But this is a case of Hasra Safek. So, and yet again, what do you see? You do get Malkus. So why doesn't Rish Lakish say, based on this, that Asra Safek is Shma Asra as well? Who's serve like Idach Tana, Rabbi Yehuda? He holds like another position of Rabbi Yehuda. We'll say, what's the other position? The Sanyo. He goes there, Vechazavi, he goes there. He'll say, let's say if I go ahead, I hit Ruvain, and then right after as I go ahead, and I hit Shimon. So we'll say, so actually, the Rashi interprets it differently. Look at Rashi. He goes there, Misha Girish es Ishto, Venises, Viyolda Safek ben Testerishon, Safek ben Zain Laachron. He goes there, Vechazavi, he goes there. So we don't have to get into the details of Rashi's case right now. We'll say the idea over here is I hit this one and then I go ahead and I hit this one. Or I go ahead and I curse this one and I go ahead and curse another one. Right? So what does the Gemara say? Or I go ahead and I hit two people at once. Or I curse two people at once. I am chayiv. We'll define just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bevasachos chayiv. So listen to this. So the Tanakhama, the first opinion seems to say that one hasra could cover a number of consecutive actions. So let's say again, I'm about to hit Reuven. And what happens? I end up hitting Reuven and Shimon. So Tanakhama says, I'm going to be chayiv for both of those acts. One hasra could cover both of these things. So yet, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, that the only time you'd be chayiv for striking two people or for killing two people is what? Is if you did it together. So the idea over here is, why? Because again, to do it one after the other would be hasra safik. Only if you do it together is it one asra. So Rish Lakish holds that asra safik is lo shema asra, holds like this other opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. I have Rabbi Yochanan nami havadei lav shema maisa. But one second, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with the fact that the lav of lo sosiru, of not leaving over until the morning, that is also a lav shein bo maisa, and yet what we see that a lav shein bo maisa, you do get malchus. So Rabbi Yochanan holds like the other opinion of Rabbi Idi Bar Avin. Amrav Amram. Amrav Yitzchak, so the Gemara says, because what happened? I'm sorry. Sarva Lakiyahad, Amrav Idi Bar Avin. Amrav Amram, Amrav Yitzchak, Amrav Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So we'll say, fine. So stop over here for just a moment. So Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, excuse me, Rabbi Yochanan holds like the other opinion of Rabbi Idi Bar Avin. Fine. So all we've done right now is we've just solidified our machlokus in Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. We've now understood again what the fundamental underpinning of that machlokus is, and we now also understand that their respective opinions are both gleaned, interestingly enough, from the same source, which is Rabbi Huda's Shita by Lo Sosiru. Okay, so now So let's listen to this. Now we come with a general statement. Any lo sase in the Torah, we'll say any prohibition in the Torah, if it is a lav she'in b'maisa, if it is a prohibition which does not have a maisa, it's a passive prohibition, then what? In lo kin alav. You do not get malchus. Right? Now, we'll say, now the Gemara is espousing this now as principle. Any lav she'in b'maisa, you don't get malchus. This obviously contradicts what Reish Lakish said before, but apparently we're not holding like Reish Lakish. Chutz, with exceptions. What are the exceptions? Chutz, min anishpa, umeymar, v'hamakala es chaveiro b'shem. Both with the exceptions of one who swears, so we'll say swearing falsely, right? Swearing falsely by definition is a lav she'in bo ma'isa, yet you will get malchus on it. Meimar, we'll say, means the act of switching or swapping carbonic animals, which also again is a lav she'in bo ma'isa, makalel, cursing, makalel schaver b'shem, cursing your friend with the shame Hashem. So we'll say, so all of these are situations where it's a lav she'in bo ma'isa, yet you will still get malchus. To which the Gemara says, one second, Kashya to Rabbi Huda, to Rabbi Huda. But we'll say, but this poses a contradiction to Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara says, either Reish Lakish, trait Tanaya Libid Rabbi Huda. So we'll say, so remember again, Rabbi Huda seemed to say that you don't get Malkus for Alav She'in Bo Maisa. So this is the Kashya Rabbi Huda. So how do we answer up the Kashya? So according to Reish Lakish, you'll see trait Tanaya Libid Rabbi Huda. It must be that there are two Tanakh. We'll say, there are two different Tanakh opinions in the position of Rabbi Huda. Either Rabbi Yochanan lo Kashya, Hadidei, Hadrabei. Or about say the other possibility is crunch Rabbi Yochanan. One is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda himself. One is the Shita of his Rebbe. About say if you look directly across to the right in Rashi, Hadidei Hadrabei, the Rabbi Yehuda lav shein b'maisel okinav. About say crunch Rabbi Yehuda himself, you do not get malchus for lav shein b'maisel. According to Rabbi Yehuda, lav shein b'maisel okinav. You do get malchus. V'hadisanya in okinav. When we say that you don't get Malkus for Lav Shema Maisa, that was the view of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Tanan Hasam. Hanotel Eimal Abana. Also another interesting case. A person goes ahead and violates the prohibition. He goes ahead and he takes the chicks from the nest, the eggs from the nest, without sending away the mother. Right? So he takes the eggs without sending away the mother. What's the halacha? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Loke Ve'ena Mashalach. Rabbi Yehuda says you get Malkus, and there is no subsequent obligation to send away the mother bird. Look at Rashi. It's right across in Rashi, right to the right. Rabbi Huda Shita is Rabbi Osai, that the obligation to send away the mother bird exists from the beginning. Send away the mother before you take the chicks. Love the memory of the makach to shalach v'nehavi lashinita klasei elav shekadnu aser bosei. So Rabbi Huda holds that the only time there's an obligation to send away the mother bird is if you send away the mother before taking the eggs. But if you already took the eggs without sending away the mother, then what? There is no subsequent obligation to send away the mother. Rather, again, you get your malchus. You get malchus. The Chum say no. Mishaleach ve'in aloka. So the Chachamim say no, you send, we'll say first wide line, test Zayin Awad Aleph. You send away the mother bird and you don't get Malkus. So as Rabbi say, look at Rashi. Chacham Momrim, Kasarvi, Shaleach Achar Losikach. The fact that the Torah says the Lashon of, says Losikach Ha'im Alabanim, do not take the mother while she sits on the eggs. Shaleach Tishalach Esaim, send away the mother. So the Chachamim understand, Rabbi say this prohibition to be what? Alav Hanitak La'asei. It is a prohibition which could be remedied by a positive commandment. Even though everyone agrees, you are supposed to at first send away the mother bird, what happens if you didn't? What happens if you took the eggs? Rabbi Huda says, sorry, if you took the eggs already, you're out. You're done. You violated the Aver, you get Malkus. Chum say, no. This is a Lav Hanitak La'asei. If you took the eggs, you're in violation. But you could remedy that violation how? By sending away the mother bird now. They hold it as a Lav Hanitak La'asei. The Gemara says, Ve'ena Loke, Zaklal, because this is the principle. Komitzos lo sase sheish bakumasei in chayavan alel. Because the Chachamim say, any prohibition of Osei, which has an associated positive commandment, and by performing the positive commandment, you could remedy the prohibition, you don't get Malkus. So although everyone will agree that the halachas, you should proactively send away the mother bird, if you did not do so, you took the eggs, send away the mother bird. Now the Chachamim say, you could go ahead and remedy the prohibition. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein lanu ela zos v'aldachas. Rabbi Yochanan says, we only have this case of Shiluach HaKan, where you could remedy the prohibition by sending away the mother bird, and one other case. So this is actually an interesting exchange. Amrli Rabbi Lazar, Heicha. So Rabbi Lazar says to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the other case? Amrli, L'chi tishkach. Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Lazar, go find it. Go find it. You want to know the answer? Go. I'm not going to spoon feed you the information. You go find it. Nafak, duck the ashkach. See, he went out, and he found the information. What's the case of Osai? Disanya, ones shegires. What happens? We'll say we had this last couple of days. A man violates a woman. There is an obligation to go ahead and marry her. Obligation to marry her. Then what happens? So he divorces her. See, he's in violation of the obligation. So remember again, the Torah said, Lo siya li'isha. He has to marry her. Now he divorces her. Imisra, so we'll say, so what does he do now? Imisra, machzir ve'in aloke. Say, if he's a Yisrael, then what? If he's a Yisrael, then he remarries her. I will say, and again, by remarrying her, he also avoids Malkus. Why? Because there's a prohibition of lo yuchal l'shachal kol yamav. You can't go ahead and divorce her all your days. He can remedy that love. How? By remarrying her. So Imisra, machzir ve'in aloke. Vim kohenu, and if he's a kohen, loke ve'ino machzir. Ultimately, what? We'll say if he's a kohen, he can't remarry her, because again, a kohen is not permitted to marry a divorcee, even if it's his own divorcee. Therefore, again, he gets malchus, but can't remarry her. So we'll say, so this is another example of what? Of a prohibition which can be remedied through the performance of a positive commandment. He committed a prohibition, a law, violated a law, by divorcing this woman. He has the ability now to remedy it, ultimately again, by remarrying her. So we'll say, now watch this. Now we're going back to the original machlokes of Yochanan and Reish Lakish about the mechanics of lav hanitak la'asei. So hanicha l'man detani kaimo v'lo kaimo. So we'll say this makes sense according to the opinion, which was Reish Lakish, who says kaimo v'lo kaimo. The mechanics ultimately again of lav hanitak la'asei means as soon as you violate the lav, you are in violation. You have the ability to remedy that violation. How? Through the performance of the positive commandment. So a man violates a woman, marries her, divorces her. He is in violation of the commandment. He is in violation of the prohibition, excuse me. If he now goes and remarries her, like the Brisa says, immediately he could save himself from Malkus. El mandamra bitlo velo bitlo. But also when it comes, but according to the opinion, which was Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that, no, the only time you're in violation of the law is when, Rabosai. When you go ahead and totally eliminate the possibility for the performance of the positive commandment, then bishlam agav b'shiluach hakan mishkachasla. So we'll say in the case of sending away the mother bird, I understand how you can go ahead and totally negate the ability to perform the remedying asay. But in the case of shiluach hakan, how can you totally negate the ability to perform the remedying positive commandment? How? Rashi points out, you kill the mother bird. If you kill the mother bird right before sending it away, then by definition you preclude yourself from the possibility of remedying the positive commandment. That would be about say the case of bitlo v'lo bitlo. However, ela ones bitlo v'lo bitlo heich mishkachasa. But I will say in the case ultimately again of where a man went ahead and violated a woman, then married her, now divorced her. So he's in violation of the lo sase. He has a remedying positive commandment to remarrying her. How would he totally negate that positive commandment? So we'll say, okay, see, eat the katla, if he kills her. So we'll say, then he's got bigger tzaris than the malchus, right? Kimle bidrab mine. So we'll say, if he kills her, then the maestro gets chayv death penalty. Chayv death penalty, so who cares about malchus? Kimle bidrab mine means we're going to execute him. So we'll say, so we have to find a less dramatic example of negating his ability or negating the asay. Amar av simi chosna, kigon shekiba la kidushin me'acher. Oh. I'll give you a case of Osai. He divorces her and what? He accepts Kiddushin on her behalf from someone else. Osai says at this point in time, now what's Yishav Osai? A Yisrael is permitted to remarry a woman he divorced so long as what? She has not married someone else in the interim. The moment that a woman, a divorcee, marries someone else in the interim, she may not remarry her ex-husband, her first ex-husband. So therefore, again, maybe the case of here is he violated her, he divorced her, then he was mekabel kiddushin on her behalf from another man, in which case now she married someone else. He has negated his ability to go ahead and perform the aseh, remarrying her. So Mara says, one second, what's the case? Amarav, isha visei shaliach, if she, the ex-wife, appointed her ex-husband as the shaliach to be mekabel kiddushin on her behalf from another man, then ihi kamevatla. Then it's not the husband who has negated the performance of the aseh, but rather what? It's the wife. of the ex-wife, in which case, again, he should not be liable for that. Ilo shavisei shaliach, if she did not appoint him as a shaliach, but what? He just decided to do her a favor and be makabel kiddush on her behalf from another man, then what? Kol kamine, he's not believed. He doesn't have the power to do that. Kol kamine velo klumi. As we'll say, you know, going ahead and deciding on someone's behalf, I think you guys would make a great couple. And going ahead and accepting kiddushin on behalf of the woman does not work. Does not work. So we'll say, so what's the case? I'm going to have Simin Ardo, Kigon Shedira Birabim. Oh, we'll say, what's the case? The case would be, he violated her, he married her, he divorced her, and now he makes a public neder not to remarry her. We'll say, so perhaps under these circumstances, a public neder, which is a stronger neder, he has precluded the possibility of remarriage, in which case, again, he has negated the asay, and therefore will be chayiv malchus. But so that's fine according to the opinion who says that a neder undertaken in public does not have annulment. According to the opinion who says that even a neder undertaken in public has hafara, can be annulled, what is there to say? Or dimadira al das rabim. Say, what's the case? The case is where ultimately, again, he goes ahead and he gives her neder. We'll say al das rabim. Remember, again, we learned this in our Nadarim days. Al das rabim, Rabosei, means a neder undertaken with the das of the public. Which Rabosei, the Gemara says, damar ameimar hilchosa neder shode barabim yishlafara. As the Meimar says, a neder, Rabosei, undertaken in public can be annulled. Al das rabim ein lo hafara. But a neder undertaken with the das of the rabim does not have an almost. So I will say, this would be the case ultimately of what? This would be the case of where you would have a situation of a man who violated alosase, he divorced the woman who he violated and then married, and he negated the ability to perform the asay. How did he do that? He took a neder al das rabim not to remarry her. We'll say neder al das rabim has no annulment, and therefore again, Allah Almighty has precluded any possibility of remarriage. He has negated the ability to perform the asay, and therefore he'll get malchus. Vesulaka, I'll say, are there no other examples of this principle? Vahaika, geza, we'll say, what about the case of theft? Dirachmana amar lo sigzal, the Torah says, don't steal. And yet, the Torah says, veheshav hazagzela, and yet the Torah also gives a what? A possibility to remedy that prohibition by returning the stolen object. And I will say, so again, so presumably, as long as I fulfill the asay, I don't get malchus. But the moment I negate the ability to perform the asay, then what? I should get malchus. Mashkon, similarly again, collateral. Tirachmana amar lo sava al beisal avot avoto. Pasuk says you shall not go into his home to seize collateral. They will say that's the prohibition. That's the lav. On the other hand, there's a remedy. What's the remedy? Hashiv tashiv lo hashiv tashiv lo avot kiwa shemesh umishkachos lo b'kaimo v'lo kaimo ubit lo v'lo bit. And they will say again, whether you hold like Rish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan about the mechanics of a lav anitak la'asei, these would be additional examples. They will say of if you violate the prohibition and then you go ahead and prevent yourself, either again from actively or totally performing the positive commandment, which remedies the prohibition, you should be chayvin malchus. So also what the Gemara is asking over here is, the Gemara made it sound like there's only two cases, there's only two situations in which a person could go ahead and violate the prohibition, and then go ahead and be mevatel b'asei, then go ahead and negate the positive commandment, which remedies it, and you'll be chayv malchus. There are many other examples of this dynamic as well, to which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Hasam, kevan dechai b'tashlomen ein loki mishalim. It's different, because we'll say in these cases, since you are liable to repayment, you do not get malchus and pay. Fine. Maskev Rabbi Zira, ha'ike mashkono shel ger. What about the case of, I have a collateral of a ger? Look at the last Rashi on the daf. Mashkono shel ger, v'sarfa b'chai hager. We'll say this would be a case where I took a mashkon, I took collateral from a convert, umeis hager, and then the ger dies. Ve'in lo yarshin, delesa b'tashlomen. We'll say, remember again, if a ger doesn't have children after he converts, then what? On a technical level, let's assume his spouse predeceases him as well, he could die without any inheritors, without any heirs. So let's say again, there's a case where I took a mashkon, I took collateral from a ger during his lifetime, I then destroyed it, right? And now he dies. There is no one to repay it. Umeis hager. So I'll say, this would be another example. Amabeis, hasam, tezayin amabeis, hasam, gavra bar tashlumen hu, vishibuda diger hu depaka. Both say the difference in that case is that I owe him money, in other words, the claim is still there, but what? There is no one ultimately, again, to enforce the claim. There's ultimately no one to collect. V'ha'ika peah. Rabbi said, what about the case of peah? So remember again, the obligation of peah is to leave a corner of your field for the poor. V'rachmana amar lo sechale pas. Torah says, do not go ahead and literally harvest the corner of your field. La'ani v'lager tazel v'osam. Leave them ultimately, again, for the ani, for the ger, for the poor person, for the convert. For the stranger, I should say. Not convert. Really, in this context, it means ger toshav. Here's another example of an assay, right? I have a los assay. The los assay is los sechalis pa. Do not go ahead and harvest the corner of your field. There's a los assay. Now, we'll say ultimately again, there's an assay. Then there's a remedying assay. What's the remedying assay? The remedying assay, I will say, is leave the grain ultimately again for the poor, for the ger toshav. The mishkachas, and I will say, here's an example. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Tazov osam. It's Rashi three lines down from the top. The kasavar tazov la'achar averas halat mashma lo sechale then kilisa tazov osam. We'll say now here I have a los assay. What's the los assay? Don't harvest the corner of your field. What happens if I did it? There's a remedy. We're both saying, what's the remedy? The remedy is that even if you harvested, what do you do? What do you do? Leave the grain for the poor. So I have a los assay, which is remedied by an assay. I want to say, all we're trying to do over here is to show other examples of prohibitions which have a remedying positive commandment, and if you don't perform the positive commandment, you should be subject to malchus. Yet the Gemara only makes it sound like there's only one or two cases that fit into this category. The Gemara is trying to show there are other cases. So the Gemara says, "Dimishkachas lo b'kaimo v'lo kaimo, bitlo v'lo bitlo." The Rebbe will say, however you understand the mechanics of alav hanitak la'asei, according to Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish, kaimo v'lo kaimo, which means that ultimately, again, I violate the los assay until I perform the assay, or bitlo v'lo bitlo, which means I'm only in violation of the los assay if I negate the ability to perform the assay. I will say, however you understand the mechanics of alav hanitak la'asei, this case works. This nan, mitzvah speah, this mitzvah will say, what is the mitzvah peah? L'hafish menakama. The mitzvah peah will say is to leave standing grain. The goal over here is you leave a corner of standing grain for the poor. L'hafish menakama. We'll say, what happens if I harvested my whole field? I harvested the whole field, I didn't leave a corner. So what do I do? Mafish mina omen. It's okay. You go ahead and you separate out the peah amount from the sheaves of wheat. L'hafish mina omen. The piles, I should say. The sheaves. Lo hifrish mina omrim. If I do not go ahead and separate out from the sheaves, mafrish mina kri. I separate out from the pile. I will say the idea over here is that although ideally I'm supposed to leave a corner of the field, if I harvested the field in its entirety, I nevertheless what? I nevertheless still leave grain from, still leave peah from the grain. Lo mina kri. Excuse me, mafrish mina kri. Achilo mirach. Merchu, so we'll say up until the point where I go ahead and I sift it, I go ahead and I separate out peah. However, merchu ma'aser v'nosinu. We'll say once I get to the point ultimately again where the produce becomes subject to ma'aser, then ma'aser, then I have to take ma'aser first. But we'll say as we're going to see, you still give the peah afterwards. To v'nosinu. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Merchu. Fine. Bose, this is reflective of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds, Bose, this is actually amazing, that you would even separate out peah from the dough itself. That Rabbi Shmuel holds, even if mamish again, it's now in dough state, you would still separate out peah. Rabbi Shmuel, I am mishkachas la, the achal isa. So again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he would have a case where you could negate the ability to ever again perform peah. We'll say, what would be the case where you can negate the ability to ever perform peah? Where what? You ate the bread. We'll say, if you eat the bread, then what? There's nothing more to talk about. Ella, zos va'ot acheres. So I will say, rather again, the Gemara says, you're right. When the Gemara said before that there's zos, there's this case, and od acheres, aha, it was referring to the case of peah. About ones lo. Rabbi will say at the end of the day, this case of lav hanitak la'asei will not work by ones. Dehechar minin al das rabim ein lo afara. Because Rabbi will say, when do we say that a neder shud al das rabim doesn't have annulment? The dvar reshus. Rabbi will say that's only true with matters of discretion. Aval a dvar mitzvah yesh lafara. But I will say again, when it comes to a dvar mitzvah, even if it comes to a mitzvah matter, even if you make a neder al das rabim, the neder can be annulled. So therefore, I will say, if a man violates a woman, divorces her, and then makes a neder al das rabim that he's not going to remarry her, that neder can be annulled. So therefore, I will say, even in the case, ultimately, again, of a man who violates a woman, marries her, then divorces her, there is no case where he could go ahead and annul the assay. He could undermine the assay. Because I will say, even if he takes a neder shod das rabim, for a mitzvah purpose, you could annul a public neder. The Gemara actually gives a very interesting example of this. Kiha, dahu mikri dardiki, dahava pasha biyanuki. I will say, there was this Rebbe who hit the kids too much. Interesting case. You're right, too much, a little is okay. Right, everybody, right? He's also obviously reflecting different disciplinary norms. So he used to hit the kids too much, Rashi says, and he's looking Rashi, he hit them too much. So we'll say, obviously again, Rashi is reflecting a disciplinary model where some level of physical punishment ultimately was acceptable, obviously dramatically different than the standards of chinuch that we have to this very day. Our dar cannot deal with this type of discipline, should not deal with this type of discipline. So say there was this rabbi who used to hit the kids a little too much. Rav Acha literally made a neder that he cannot go ahead and teach anymore. Find a new profession. Can't teach kids anymore. And Ravina annulled the neder because there was no one else who was able to teach like him. So we'll say, so again, the Gemara is just giving this as an example. Alright, whatever it is. Right? So we'll say, the point is that for a mitzvah, one could even annul, ultimately, again, a neder shudra das rab. So bottom line, what is the takeaway here? Remember, there is a fundamental machlokus in Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish about the mechanics of alav hanitak lase. I violate the prohibition. That prohibition, ultimately, again, has an accompanying positive commandment, which has the ability to remedy the prohibition. So we'll say, at what point in time am I in violation of the prohibition? The moment that I violate the law, or only up until the point where I negate the ability to perform the essay? So we'll say, listen to this. So the Rambam says, this is in Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Rambam says, the Perek Tezayin Halacha Dalet, Avar Alav Shenitak Lase. If a person goes ahead and violates a lav, which has an accompanying, remedying, positive commandment, V'hisrubo, the Edom gave him Asra, V'omrilo, Al Taseh Dabarzeh, do not do this thing, She'im Taseno V'lo Tekayim Aseh Shebo Tiloke, because if you violate the lav, and you don't go ahead and what? You don't perform the assay, you will get malchus. So we'll say, just give you to frame this. Right? I'm about to steal something. Edim say, don't steal. Because if you steal and you don't return the lost object, then what? You will be in violation. You'll get malchus. Va'avar v'lo kiyem ha'asei. And I violate, I steal the object. And I don't return it. Harei zeh lokeh. I will say, ultimately, again, I get malchus. And I will say, so number one, you see that ultimately, again, we paskin like Rish Lakish, that when it comes to a lav hanitak la'aseh, a lav, a prohibition, with an accompanying positive commandment, the moment I go ahead and violate the lav, and fail to fulfill the aseh, I am in violation. That's number one. Number two, says the Rambam, af api shasra besafeki shimikayim yipater hasras safek hasrahi. Rabosai, lesson number two is that we hold that sasra safek is a proper asa. So both sides, two things that come from this case. Number one, the moment you violate the law, you are in violation. You're in violation. Even if what? Even though there's an assay out there that I could perform, if I don't perform the assay, I'm in violation. So if Bazin points out to me, you did something wrong, if I perform the assay right there, I could avoid malchus. But assuming that I do not perform the assay, even though I have the ability to perform the assay, I am in violation. Number two, hasra, safik rabosai, a hasra, even what we'll call a non-definitive hasra. We'll say, what's a non-definitive hasra? It's an if and then hasra. If you violate this and do not perform the assay, you will get malchus. So it's a non-definitive hasra. The Rambam paskins, it is still a proper hasra. So we'll say, bottom line is, we paskin like Rish Lakish on both accounts. Incredible idea. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. I'm sorry. We pass in like Reish Lakish in terms of the mechanics of Lafanita Klase. We pass in like Rav Yochanan about Hasura Safik Shema Hasura. Good. The Merle goes like this. We'll say, it's the next case in the Mishnah. Ha'ochal mevelos etreifos shkatsan v'ramosos. We'll remember again. Person goes ahead and eats the velos etreifos, unkosher, or I should say animals that died without proper shchita, or shkatsan v'ramosos, or creepy crawly things, one gets malchus. So we'll say, we're going to get into now the topic of consumption of shkatsim v'ramosim, creepy clothing. So we'll say now again, there are seven different violations, seven different prohibitions, I should say, seven lavim associated with eating creepy crawly things. Different prohibitions apply to different types of insects, because some will apply, as we'll see, to insects or creepy crawly things that fly. Some apply to water creatures, some apply to land creatures, but there are seven prohibitions which govern ultimately, again, this particular topic. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hayman do'achal binsa debei karbo. It was a person who eats binsa debei karbo, which Rashi says, Tolas haninsa bikruv. A worm, an insect, that is found in cabbage. That is found in cabbage. We'll say it's an incredible yisod. This gets into the whole discussion about checking vegetables. You know, checking vegetables, I will say, is not a chumrah. Checking vegetables is a halacha. You will say it's an incredible yisod. You know, sometimes a person goes ahead and violates an aveira because they have a taiva. We'll say, to go ahead and violate seven aveiros for eating a piece of lettuce is pashut not worth it. Pashut not worth it, right? You can violate one aveira for a cheeseburger, right? I'm saying, like, it is the ROI on that, right? Like the return on investment for going ahead and eating an unchecked piece of lettuce is mamish not worth it. Better to skip the salad altogether. So the idea of here is man to ochel beinsa de karba. Person goes in and eats a piece of cabbage, right? Eats the worm in the cabbage. Malkinola, you get malchus for it. Mishum sheretz hasharetz ala aretz. Now, we'll say, now, as we're going to see, you actually get more than one set of malchus, but the idea over here is you are violating the general category of creepy, crawly things on the earth. Sheretz on land shratzim. Ha'uda achal beinsa debekarba. There was once a man who ate the worm inside of the cabbage, but not the Rabbi Huda flogged him. I was just saying, by the way, not just theoretical, we actually administer malchus to someone who does this. What happens if someone eats putisa? Rashi says, bala sheretz hamayim. It's some type of sheretz that lives in the water. Loki arba. The Bible says you get four sets of malchus. In other words, if you go ahead and you consume water shratzim, then you are in violation of four different lavim. Loke arba. Nimala, if you eat an ant, loke chamesh. You go ahead and you get five malchus. Mishum sharetz hasharetz ala aretz. Also, the Bible says ultimately, again, you get the five associated malchus, five, because you have violated the five prohibitions associated with things that crawl and that creep on the ground. Tzira, if you eat a hornet, loke shesh, mishum sharezov. You go ahead and you violate five basic prohibitions, plus one additional prohibition for flying creatures. You will say, so now, with the Gemara's Umra Bachai, hamashas nekabav, if a person will say has to go to the bathroom and holds themselves back, restrain themselves going to the bathroom, over mishum lo tishaktu. Will say a person goes then and violates the prohibition of lo tishaktu, not making yourself disgusting. Was actually halacha lemaisa. We don't have time for it now, but the actually Shulchan Aruch paskins. This is in Aruch Chaim. It appears actually a couple of times in Shulchan Aruch. The real discussion is in Hilchos Kriya Shema, but already in the beginning, the Rechabesam Meshana Kaba. This is in Siman Gimel Sif Yud Zayin. Hamashana Kaba. Somebody has to go to the bathroom and restrains themselves over Mishum Bal Tishaktu. Ultimately, again, is in violation of Bal Tishaktu. Bal Tishaktu also means the prohibition of engaging in disgusting practices, making yourself abominable. So the idea is a person has to excrete waste and holds it in, so that's Bal Tishaktu. How that halacha requires a bit of qualification, but that's basic halacha. Amra Bibi Bar Abaye, Haiman Deshasi Bekarna Du'umna, Ka'av Mishum Blo Tishaktu. Bal says similarly again, if a person goes ahead and drinks out of a blood letters tube, well, so this idea is they would do bloodletting, and they would collect the blood in some type of receptacle. If you drink out of that receptacle, that's just downright disgusting. And that's over Mishum Bal Tishaktu. And we'll say, the idea is, there are certain disgusting things that if you do them, you are in violation of the law. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna. Risek Tisha Nemalim, Behevi Echad Chai, Veshimun Lekizai, Sloki Vav. We'll say, if a person took nine ants, mashed them up together, and then took one complete ant, right? And ultimately, all of this combined to a kezias, you get six sets of malkas. Hey mishum beria, so we'll say va'achas mishum kezias. So we'll say ultimately, again, five of them are associated because you ate one intact ant. We'll say, as we're going to learn, so anytime you eat something that is whole and intact, that has its own set of lavin. So you get five sets of malkas, ultimately, again, for the whole intact ant, va'achas mishum kezias. And one set of malkas for eating a kezias of insects, or eating kezias of nevela. Rava Amar Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Shnayim. Rava says this would be true even if he had two ants. One whole, and ultimately again, one that was mashed up but large enough to combine with the whole one to go ahead and complete the kezias. So you get five sets of malchus ultimately again. Five sets of malchus because of beria. We'll say beria means you're eating something that is intact. And one additional set of malchus, ultimately, again, for a kezias of nevela. So Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Echad Vuhu. Rav Yochanan would say that would be true, even two ants and one whole ant. In other words, the Gemara says, V'lo pligi. They're not arguing. They're all saying the same thing. Ha-verav revi, ha-bezuchi. Rav Yosef, it just depends on how big the ants are. So we're talking about big ants, we're talking about small ants. But the idea, we'll say, at the end of the day is the following. If you eat something that is whole, which in halacha is called a beria, a sheretz, or a sheketz, creepy clothing, an insect that is whole, you get five sets of malchus for the whole entity. If that whole entity combines with other mashed up entities to form a kezias, you will get another set of malchus ultimately again for consuming a kezias of an avela. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem at the two dots tomorrow.